Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we spent the last segment looking at whether coronavirus could become a global health pandemic. But the other major story so far is whether or not coronavirus could become a global virus for the economy. Since January 20th, the disease has stripped $4 trillion from the value of global stock markets, and the Dow is down another 850 today as we speak. This week, oil prices also fell, while the price of gold rose, signaling continued nervousness among global investors on several levels. A slew of companies, including Apple, has warned that the coronavirus will prevent them from meeting sales or profit targets or getting enough iPhones into stores. And thousands of workers worldwide are being asked to work from home. With me now on the economic side of the virus known as COVID-19 is Jean Whalen, global business reporter for The Washington Post. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Great. Thanks a lot for having me.
And listeners, help us report this part of the story. Is coronavirus outside the U.S., because it's hardly in the U.S., affecting your own business or the place where you work in any way? 212-433-WNYC. We can also take your coronavirus and the economy questions for Jean Whalen from The Washington Post at 212-433-WNYC. So either of these things, help us report the story with a story of how coronavirus is affecting your own business or workplace in any way, or if you have a coronavirus and the economy question, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let me start with this. How would you characterize the effects on the Chinese economy so far and how that would impact the United States?
Well, the main global effect so far is definitely from the effect on China. So China's factories have been and regular offices have been largely shut down for about 4 to 6 weeks now. Not in every region, but in the hardest hit regions, they are closed and remain closed. In many other regions, they are maybe half open, but not running at full capacity. Many workers are staying home. So that has meant not only much lower Chinese sales, consumer purchases, business purchases within China, but also a shutdown of parts and goods that U.S. and other Western companies buy from China. Many U.S. companies have their manufacturing operations in China, and many U.S. companies now are not getting the parts and goods that normally pour in every day from those Chinese suppliers. So it's having a very large effect.
Do you want to talk about the stock market in this respect? Is that what's being reflected when the Dow dropped 2,000 points over the first 2 days this week and is down another 850 this morning?
That's right. Yeah, the reaction this week has been very sharp. I think some of that came from it's always difficult for individuals to predict why stocks rise and fall. So this is just everybody's best guess. But it does seem that the spread of the virus to other countries, the widening outbreaks in South Korea and Italy in particular, have concerned investors in the stock markets. Initially, it did seem that this was largely confined to China. There were scattered cases outside. And still, to this day, most of the cases and nearly all of the deaths have occurred inside of China. But the fact that the virus has been spreading more in other developed economies like South Korea and Italy has been worrying to investors.
Let's take a phone call. Bethany in Mount Vernon, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bethany.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I'm an acupuncturist, and so now we're starting to see some shortage of supplies that would come from China. So not yet acupuncture needles, but some Chinese herbal formulas that we're having trouble getting. Then also my office is in Chelsea in Manhattan, but I have some patients who are concerned about either going down to Chinatown to either get herbal formulas, or they've asked me about going to Chinese restaurants. and I've assured them that there are no cases in New York or even on the East Coast, but there's a lot of concern, and I get questions from patients every day about the virus.
Bethany, thank you so much. So, Jean, her difficulty getting supplies, in this case, herbal medicines, I guess, from China, is that the tip of an iceberg that you know of?
That's really interesting. And actually, I'd love to hear more about that, Bethany. If you have time to talk afterwards,
Bethany,
you can contact me by email.
Yeah, or if you want, you can leave your contact information with us, Bethany, if you want, and we'll pass it on to Jean. Go ahead.
But yes, there are many cases like that now. We're hearing, we've heard from a lot of businesses that said, look, we always stock supplies many weeks in advance, and because the Chinese Lunar New Year always happens at the end of January, and factories generally shut down. It's like China's version of the Christmas and New Year's holidays. We always stock up before then because we know we're not going to get deliveries during that period. So a lot of businesses were prepared for some slowdown in supplies from China this time of year. But now that's extended into, like I say, like a 6-week period. And some businesses are starting to feel those effects now, some businesses in the U.S. So we talked to a toy manufacturer that has a factory in Ohio, and it was saying that it's having trouble getting metal wheels and doll hair and some resins and cardboard from China. We've heard from people who sell things on Etsy that they can't get pins and stickers and things that they normally import from China. And certainly we've heard a lot of bigger industries saying that they are afraid that their deliveries of car parts and electronics and apparel could soon cease if China's factories don't reopen in the next week or two.
So besides everything else that the coronavirus is, it's a lesson on how intertwined so many global supply chains are. Justin in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Justin.
That's good.
Justin, you have a question,
Brian,
right?
Brian.
Hey there.
Thank you for taking my call.
No.
Two things. My wife works at the post office, and I'm literally at work now across from a big shipyard that loads cargo. And my concern is, I don't hear anybody talking about the sabotage part of it and how long the disease itself can live out the body. And I'm concerned about it coming through our port and cargo. And based on the economists, cargo is not totally eliminated out of China. It just minimized. So
interesting.
My concern is, can this disease have effect on the United States through sabotage or even through unintentional cargo apart from humans?
I understand. Justin, thank you very much. And I realize, Gene, that this might be more for a public health guest than for an economics reporter like yourself, but there's the interplay between public health and economics here, obviously, since he's talking about cargo.
Sure. And, I will say that is a better question for a health official. I have heard from various industry associations here in D.C. that they are being told the virus cannot live long enough on cargo shipments to be any concern for us in terms of, goods and packages coming in from China. But, I don't know that for sure, and I don't know that the industry associations necessarily are the best source of that info. But I pass that along, just FYI, that's what I've heard, that it's not a concern on cargo.
Justin,
that it's,
go ahead.
Yeah, but that it is obviously a concern. Human-to-human transmission is the main concern, coughing, sneezing, that sort of thing.
Gene Whalen, global business reporter for The Washington Post, is our guest. And you reported this morning that in Europe, the most visible economic damage is hitting the tourist sector, just as Americans are preparing for spring travel. What kind of ripple effects are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it's been particularly bad in Italy and in Spain. So those are two countries that are among the highest in, visited for tourists from all over the world. Italy has had so far the biggest outbreak of coronavirus in Europe, and it's been concentrated mostly in northern Italy, where Venice, for example, shut down its yearly carnival celebrations 2 days early out of concern that the virus could spread there among tourists. So Venetian travel agents and hotels were telling us yesterday that they've had tons of cancellations and the streets are much emptier than normal this time of year. Some of them felt quite frustrated because they said, look, you know, Venice is still pretty healthy. Most of the infections so far have not been within Venice proper, and daily life continues as normal here. We all feel healthy, so we don't know why all the tourists have disappeared, but, you know, it has definitely had an impact. Milan has been harder hit. There have been more infections in the Milan area, and the same thing there, hotels and restaurants and the entire sector, both for business and pleasure travel, is feeling the pain.
I see we have a caller, Peter, an ex-New Yorker, calling from Thailand. Peter, you're on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Yes, hi. It's funny to be calling from this side of the world. But anyway, yes, I'm doing a startup here. But I just wanted to say that the businesses here in Thailand have just been destroyed. I mean, it's just a really rough time for a lot of small business owners here, as you would imagine. I mean, it's a neighbor of China. The number of cases here has been very low, but the level of panic is very high.
Jane, did you want to ask Peter a question?
Well, I mean, I'd love to know, do you have a small business? Have you felt the effects? Or
yes.
When you say it's been destroyed, what are you seeing, actually?
Well, several friends have businesses that they've decided to close. I mean, particularly bad hit is, in the short term, is the tourism business, obviously. I mean, in recent years, there's been high numbers of Chinese visitors, South Korean, Japanese, Indians, and each one of these groups has, you know, pulled back. They're not doing any of the tourist. Anyway, it's just like a ghost town, and businesses are closing.
Peter,
yeah.
It's
really bad here.
I'm so sorry to hear it, but I really appreciate that you checked in. And Jane, for you as a global business reporter, it sounds like there was something new there for you.
There was, yeah. I hadn't really heard much about Thailand, but I think that makes sense. That we're, you know, a lot of countries, travel restrictions have been put in place. It's very hard to travel outside of China now. I believe the same is true of South Korea. So that definitely makes sense that the tourism areas in that part of the world would be feeling the heat. Be good to talk to you more about that, Peter, too, if you want to get in touch.
And so if you, too, would like to leave your contact information, we'll pass it on to Jean. Happy to do it. Mike in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Yes, hi, Brian. There's a author called Mark Olshaker, Olshaker. He wrote a book, Deadly...
Mark, forgive me. I want to keep you to the point. I think you told our screener that... you're calling because we're asking for people's stories of how the coronavirus is affecting their workplaces. And I think you told our screener something about a shortage of medicines or medical supplies for hospitals. Is this something you know?
Yes, that's correct. The reason I'm citing him is because he's the one who is following all this. So what he says in the book is most of our manufacturing for pharmaceuticals, it comes from India and China. And we also have a just-in-time inventory system, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Right. And, Mike, forgive me. I'm going to leave it there because we're asking for people's firsthand stories. But what he's reporting from having read in that book is that something you can confirm, Gene, actual medications coming from China and elsewhere overseas potentially causing a shortage here?
Well, I think it's probably important not to panic on that point for sure. I mean, I used to cover the healthcare industry in a previous life, and I know that drug manufacturing happens all over the world. We have lots of drug manufacturing here. There's a lot in India. Many generics are made in India. There's a lot in Europe. It's true that some of the raw ingredients, in fact, many of the raw ingredients for pharmaceuticals do come from China. But I know that our reporters at the Post have been checking around, asking about shortages. And in my understanding, there really aren't dire shortages or dire concerns about shortages yet. So I'm not the ultimate expert on that, but that's my sense of things.
We're almost out of time. I'm just curious if you as a business reporter are hearing any kind of backlash to the concern, backlash to the Dow going down 3,000 points over the week, to that, you know, this is a lot of what if, and this is all much less widespread than the ordinary flu, which kills tens of thousands of people just in this country every year, and a little bit of sort of, let's get a grip here.
That's a very important point to make. I think it's very important for people not to panic, either health-wise or economically. I think there certainly will be some economic impact from the virus, particularly because of its effects on China. But some of the U.S. companies I spoke with this week who are, dealing with the early signs of shortages of parts and things are saying, look, if the factories fire up again in China in the next few weeks, we can get through this. It's not a disaster for us. So I think, let's all not panic. Everybody follow what the health authorities are advising us. And it's true that the flu is still a far more deadly disease.
Gene Whalen, global business reporter for The Washington Post. We'll see if those listeners who called in want to contact you to follow up, and we'll keep following your reporting. Thank you so much for it.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come.